will overtake us all, but the grave is not the end. There is a very long eternity awaiting each of us, and Jesus said most people will go to hell. Are you like most, or like the few on the narrow road to heaven? The Bible teaches many things you may never have heard before, which may shock you. Join us today for Fighting the Good Fight with your host, Brother Dan Corder, and his wife, Sister Cheryl.
Welcome to our live broadcast. Later, you will have opportunity to phone in with questions.
Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Wasn't that a good scripture from my dear wife? That was from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Today in this broadcast, we want to hit on a major big-time problem in our society, that being pornography. If you aren't directly affected, then certainly someone you know is in some way. And besides pornography, we also want to touch on the false doctrine of eternal security, since this popular teaching will affect what one does. And in the latter part of the broadcast, I would like to deal with the Book of Mormon. I mentioned in a past program that the Book of Mormon contradicted the Bible. I will show you some reasons why we as Christians reject the Book of Mormon. And again, that will be later on in the broadcast. Now, getting back to the subject of pornography, I wonder how many people know what the Lord Jesus taught about this. Cheryl has a vital passage to read from the lips of the Lord Jesus on this issue. Please listen to this.
Matthew 5, 28 and 29 read, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell."
Again, that was from the Lord Jesus, the ultimate authority. He taught you can commit adultery through lust and never have sexual intercourse. This is another surprise one gets from reading the Word of God. The truth of God on this is, you can commit the sin of adultery by lusting in your heart after another. Adultery is the sin. Cheryl, before we proceed with some other points in Matthew chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, please read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, which states just how serious it is to commit the sin of adultery.
"Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God."
That's a very revealing passage from the writings of the Apostle Paul. In case you're wondering, that's from the New King James Version of the Bible. According to that passage, adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God, which means they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Also, nowhere in the Bible is the adultery caused by lusting shown to be less severe than the kind one would commit by going through the physical act. Therefore, if you are serious about avoiding the flames of hell, you better shun the sin of lusting in your heart or mental adultery, just like all the other sins listed in Scripture that will also cause one not to enter the kingdom of God. Many people, even those professing to be Christians, take the sin of mental adultery much too lightly. We have received many emails over the years that have inferred that everyone is lusting with no exception. Folks, if everyone was lusting in their heart, then everyone would be committing mental adultery and would therefore be on the road to hell according to Jesus' teaching. It is ludicrous to think everyone is lusting and everyone is bound by this horrible sin. If you are lusting by way of internet or pornographic literature, videos, television, etc., whichever way, anyway, then you can get the victory over this soul-damning sin just like all the people that aren't lusting and are free of this sin addiction. Victory and forgiveness is only found in the Lord Jesus, though. We'll be right back after this message.
Christians have a different kind of love toward others because God's love has been shed abroad in their hearts. This is a biblical fact. But what kind of love is this? Is it the kind of love that will make the unrepentant feel comfortable in their sins and tell them they are okay with God even in their rebellion towards Him? That wouldn't be real love at all, according to the Bible. Real Christian love, the kind God gives true Christians, is described in 1 Corinthians 13:6, where we read, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." Remember that. Love rejoices with truth. Sharing with others what the Bible teaches for the sake of their eternal souls is true Christian love.
I'd like to ask Cheryl to read an excerpt from an email we received from a young 12-year-old boy and how he got addicted to pornography because of his mother. Listen to this.
I have been addicted to pornography since age 12, and my mom always told us kids that as long as it isn't a real flesh and blood woman that you're lusting after, it ain't sin, it's normal. In fact, she purchased a subscription to Playboy for my older brother at age 14 to keep us from fornicating with real living women.
Now we know that when somebody says in conjunction with lust, it's okay to look as long as you don't touch, they are wrong. Sadly, that mother actually got her sons addicted to mental adultery, which put them on the road to hell. And folks, the greatest danger that exists is being thrown into the fires of hell. Now, some people are secretive and others are not about porn. They might be successful in hiding it from some, maybe in their family, but certainly not from God. Cheryl has another scripture that proves that.
Hebrews 4:13 states, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account."
That verse is very helpful. Just to know that nothing is hidden from God's sight and that we must give an account to God is very important. Again, please remember this. There is no secret sin because God knows what is going on. Hebrews 4:13 again says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Now, these basic truths, which will help us all live much more godly, are sometimes hidden from people because of the preaching in our day. They just don't know these things. Sadly, they're not reading the scriptures, and therefore they're not acquainted with these basic truths about God and spiritual things. At the beginning of this broadcast, Cheryl read Matthew 5:28 and 29, where the Lord Jesus taught, "But I tell you that anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Please note the ramifications of lustful adultery committed by your eyes according to the Lord. Directly related to that sin, Jesus taught there that you can go to hell over lust. He said, again, verse 29, "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Now that should settle forever the seriousness of this type of sin. Jesus taught most definitely, clearly, explicitly, that this type of sin can and will drag people to hell. I repeat, Jesus said lusting in your heart will drag you into the flames of hell, and therefore you better do something to stop it. I remember before I started reading the Bible that I once believed, because I was unacquainted with Scripture, that the only people that would go to hell would be people that were bank robbers or murderers or people like that. But you don't have to read very far into the Scriptures to find out that's certainly not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Lord Jesus and the apostles taught. Now the Lord also said it would be better to lose your right eye, which is causing this sin, than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Folks, I know that sounds drastic, but the Lord made the point very well. You must get the victory over this sin, even if you have to go to that extreme. Now, that was Jesus' teaching. That's not me saying it. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. You can read it for yourself. Matthew chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Another way to help you realize the seriousness of any sin that will drag you to hell is to hold your hand over a hot stove. Now, the Bible tells us about the fires of hell that they are eternal, unquenchable, and raging. Folks, there is no escape from hell. Once a person is thrown into the flames of hell, they will never get out. Hence, we must avoid hell at all cost. And please remember this, that eternal fire has been prepared for the devil and his angels, but people will be there too. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Another very sad email we got from a person addicted to pornography is this one.
"I was enslaved to that sin since I was about 10 years old. I would try to give my life to God, but Satan would crush me with it every time. He would put it everywhere. TV is the worst. Finally, it led to an affair. Thank God my wonderful wife forgave me. After I truly got saved, I asked God to forgive me for my past sins and to heal me, and praise God he did. The desire to undress every woman was and is gone. That was over 5 years ago."
Did you notice that that man said porn led to an adulterous affair, and he started viewing pornography when he was only 10 years of age? Folks, that's a fourth grader. There are grade school kids in our society today that are addicted to pornography. It's hard to believe, but that is reality. Imagine that. Grade school children are addicted to pornography, at least some of them. Now, there can be no doubt that porn is part of the reason that our society is such an adulterous and wicked society as it is. Now, that same man said, quote, "TV is the worst," unquote. I get people mad. I'm talking church people mad when I preach against TV. But it's true anyhow. Listen, folks, at the very least, TV is a lust generator. At the very least. I can't see how any serious Christian can watch that vile, evil tool of the devil and not be adversely affected by it. That same man said he got free from that horrible sin addiction. Please know, he is no different from anyone else that would also sincerely like to get free and would repentfully turn to the Lord Jesus. Now, here are two more emails we received regarding pornography.
"I am a 19-year-old college student that has struggled with pornography for as long as I can remember. No matter how many times I tell myself I am going to stop looking at porn on television or on the internet, I give in to temptation. I feel like a complete waste of life and a joke when after I ask for forgiveness, I just go back and look at porn again after a couple of days. The guilt that I experience is so deep that I am ashamed to even ask God and Christ for forgiveness. I am extremely confused at this time because I am a religious person but do not belong to a church or any other religious institution. I am waiting to join one when I leave home after next year. But without guidance from someone, I feel lost and confused. Just the other night, I watched an adult movie. After the movie was finished, I just looked up and down the stations for something else to satisfy my urge. I have digital cable, so I'm able to order movies just by clicking on a title. I ordered two adult movies. I never really even went to sleep. I just watched pornography. I feel like I did when I was in junior high, and I ordered $300 worth of porn. Right this second, I am fighting with myself, trying not to order one again tonight. Not only am I disrespecting God and Christ, I am disrespecting my mom and dad by charging them for these movies. I need help. It feels like I'm trapped by my own lust, and I do not want to go to hell." Here's another letter. "I used to be clean and never even think about porn, even if all my friends did. Finally, one night, I ended up doing it one time, and now I can't stop. I'm about to go into the 11th grade, and I've been doing this for about 5 months."
In that first letter, that young man, only 19 years of age, said he had been struggling with porn as long as he can remember. Folks, again, even grade school kids are getting addicted. This is the horrible, immoral day in which we live, and porn has helped to get it that way. Did you notice that he spent hundreds of dollars on porn addiction? That sounds almost as bad as being addicted to drugs. And did you notice the guilt that he had from the adultery related to the pornography he's been viewing? One major advantage, though, that young man had, and is apparent, that he knew that his sin would drag him to hell. And he's absolutely correct in thinking that way. But sad to say, a lot of people would never hear that in most of the churches that they go to. The reason they wouldn't hear that is because they often hear the teaching of eternal security. The teaching of eternal security would say that if you were ever saved, you will remain saved, even if you would stray off into porn addiction. The Bible teaches that this sin will send you to hell. That is according to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 28 and 29. And it has no difference, it makes no difference whatsoever if you go to church, if you prayed this quote-unquote sinner's prayer, if you've been water baptized or not. That if you're in this sin, if you're in this wickedness, you are on the road to hell as long as you are lusting in your heart. Let's understand that is the message of the Bible. That's the message that the holy God, the creator of heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in it, would want mankind to know. Now, a contrast to that concept is that mental adultery will not send you to hell. And folks, this horrible teaching of eternal security, once saved, always saved, the perseverance of the saints, the preservation of the saints, whatever you want to call it, remember, that is bad news. That is not something you want to sit under, I can guarantee. In fact, we received many emails regarding parents that now greatly regret raising their children under that kind of environment, and how their children have turned wicked, just like the world that doesn't even go to church, because they heard and reheard over and over and over, and they've become indoctrinated in the belief of eternal security. Now, God forbid that anybody out there would be deceived like these people that believe in eternal security. God forbid, don't let that happen, folks. If it happens, you're the blame. You're hearing the truth. It's found in the Bible. Jesus said this type of sin, this type of adultery, will actually damn you to hell. Now, in that last letter, that man testified that he got addicted to porn from just one indulgence to pornography. Don't play around with porn.
Dan, Job also stated something related to lust and how it would cause a righteous person to become wicked in God's sight. In Job 31, 1 through 4, we read, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. For what is man's lot from God above, his heritage from the Almighty on high? Is it not ruin for the wicked, disaster for those who do wrong? Does he not see my ways and count my every step?
Amen, Cheryl. That was very good. A very good point. Job knew the seriousness of lust, and therefore he made a covenant with his eyes not to lust after a girl. And he knew he would become wicked, even though he was righteous, over this particular type of sin. We'll be right back after this break.
Many people think of God like they do Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. That is, he really doesn't exist at all. Friend, that could not be further from the truth. God is real. The Bible is true. Jesus is alive. You do have an eternal soul. There is a judgment day, and you will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell if you follow the majority. In the end, you also will be thrown into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now is the time to turn from your sins. Place 100% of your faith and trust in Jesus alone and serve him faithfully till death for your soul's salvation. You must get biblically saved and stay saved to enter God's paradise kingdom after your physical death. Please read the New Testament for yourself and change accordingly. Your eternal destiny depends upon what you do with that message. God bless you.
So how can a person, any person, get set free from this horrible sexual addiction? Folks, the precious word of God, the Bible, gives us the answer. Speaking of Jesus, we read in Revelation 1:5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Colossians 1:20 says that it is the blood of Jesus shed on the cross that brings peace with God. Now, Jesus shed his blood in Gethsemane, but that didn't do it. Colossians 1:20 tells us it's the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that brings peace with Almighty God. And we contact Jesus' blood when we sincerely repent and place our faith in Jesus for our salvation. Remember also that the Bible says our hearts are purified by faith in Acts chapter 15, verse 9. After we go to God directly for forgiveness and mercy, submit your life to Jesus. That's what you must do. You must submit to Him. Then you need to have your mind renewed by the Word of God, especially if you've been addicted to pornography. The water of God's Word will wash out that dirt, that spiritual pollutant, from your mind. Now, Cheryl, how can any person, again, renew his mind if he's been addicted to porn for even many years?
By spending quality time in the Bible, reading and pondering God's eternal truths.
Now, that's very important, is to meditate on the Word of God, to ponder and dwell on that Scripture. The water of God's Word will wash out your mind, I don't care how depraved it might be, how defiled and how contaminated it might be. It will wash that out and stimulate you toward wholesome thinking. And it's also very important for you to get your priorities in order, and you can do that by getting in the Scriptures. In Psalm 119, 9 through 11, the Bible tells us about the importance of hiding God's Word in our heart, and that alone will prevent us from sinning. That Scripture says this, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, isn't that an important truth? We need to hide God's word in our heart so that we will not sin against God, and we can keep our way pure even in this debauched society. We can do that if we hide God's word in our heart. In other words, our thinking is very important. We also need to avoid certain people, places, and things. Folks, you're going to have to get serious about living holy if you're going to get to heaven. And to live holy will mean you will have to make some definite changes in your life. This means that your old friends that are unrepentant will have to be avoided. And if they won't turn from their wickedness, which many will not, then you must turn away from them. There is something much worse than losing your friends, and that is your soul. And there's something much worse than being lonely, and that's going to hell. Again, remember, your soul is your most valuable possession. You must guard your soul or you will lose it. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong." Remember that. In a general kind of way, Jesus told a group of Christians in the book of Revelation the following. Now, this is found in chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus said this, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." Cheryl, tell the people what we recommend about music and how pornographic materials should be discarded.
We advise people they should only listen to godly music. Cut out all secular music and fill your minds with gospel tunes that are in accord with Scripture. Also, all pornographic materials should be destroyed so they won't defile anyone else. The best way to do this is to publicly burn them, as one should also burn witchcraft and sorcery materials when he repents.
That is very good advice. But let's take this whole problem of lust one step further. Especially women need to dress modestly. This, however, is to go against the typical young girl's attitude about how they need to dress when they're growing up. She is taught, especially by watching TV and observing others, to dress seductively. All this needs to change if you love God. It is a very serious thing to stumble another into sin, which women can do by the way they dress. Of course, men have to dress modestly also, since women can also lust. Let me add this. Any woman that dresses with the intent of getting a man to lust after her body is no better than a prostitute as far as God is concerned. Let me say that again. Any woman that dresses with the intent of getting a man to lust after her body is no better than a prostitute as far as the holy God of the Bible is concerned. Think about that. That statement, folks, is penetrating, and it's very important to make your change now. The way you have been dressing needs to change, and men, again, this includes you. You need to change too. Furthermore, no professing Christian should go out to the beach or any public swimming pool where others might lust after their body, which is barely covered, and may I add, by very little tight-skinned clothes. To disregard this is to help feed lustful thoughts into the minds of others and to be used of the devil to tempt people and to help keep them bound to adultery and on the road to hell. Even though you might not realize it, you're not aware that you're actually being used of the devil. You're just going along with the crowd, just like everyone else. But folks, Jesus said the majority will go to hell. Don't follow the crowd. Get your direction from the Bible. That's why you need to read the New Testament for yourself. Find out what Jesus and the apostles taught and change accordingly. In 1 Timothy 2:9, the Bible says, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Then we come down to Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. And listen to what Jesus said about the seriousness of causing another person to stumble into sin. Jesus said to the disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. Jesus told the disciples to watch themselves, and woe to the person that would stumble another. It would actually be better for that person to be dead physically. That's the point he's driving home. If you tie a millstone around your neck and you're thrown into the sea, you'll die. He's saying that's a better condition than stumbling another person into sin. You can see how serious this whole issue of sinning is. That's why people are drugged into the flames of hell. Sin is the reason. Now, if you're a real Christian, you need to be guarded so you won't stumble another spiritually. We'll be right back after this important message.
The Jesus of the Bible, who alone can save us from the fires of hell, is not like many people think. While Jesus walked the face of the earth, he taught God's truth, which sometimes offended others and caused many to turn away from his teachings. On one occasion, all the disciples walked away and only the 12 remained. Jesus asked the 12, "Will you also go away?" Peter's answer in John 6:68 was memorable. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Shouldn't you also learn what Jesus said about salvation before you meet him in judgment? Then it will be forever too late to make the vital change." Jesus said in Luke 8:21, "My mother and brother are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Jesus also said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." In Matthew 7:24.
Cheryl, would you please read that last letter we received just a few days ago about porn?
Hello. I'm a married female, age 23. I have 3 children from my husband. When we got married, I knew of him looking at pornographic stuff, but he said that he would stop. Every now and again, I catch him looking at it again on the internet. I cannot stand it. I keep bringing up to him what he's doing and telling him that he is committing adultery, but for some reason, it seems as if he does not care. Today I caught him again. I was so angry with him. He says that he doesn't know why he does it, and it takes a while for him to even admit that it's him doing it. When I do catch him, he always starts an argument with me and tells me that I am doing the same thing, and I am not. I read some of your articles, and they state to take away the source. I cannot do that because it is on the internet, and I go to college online. I have to have the internet to finish my degree. I am at the point now that I can't handle this anymore. I don't want to break up my family for his addiction to pornographic sites, but I am at a loss and I do not know what to do. Please help me come up with some way to make this stop.
Lust was also jeopardizing that man's marriage and not just his soul. Sin causes pain, shame, regret, fear, destruction, and even damnation. And it also hurts others as a parent from that woman that was suffering because of what her husband was doing. Also, regarding pornography, please remember this. Lust is not a demon spirit. Therefore, it will do no good whatsoever to rebuke a quote-unquote spirit of lust. According to the Bible, lust is of the sinful nature or flesh, depending what translation of the Bible you read. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Lust is of the earthly or the sinful nature. Hence, we must put it to death by crucifying it. So how do we crucify the sinful nature? Here's the answer. Listen carefully. This is in Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Where your mind is set will determine the way you behave, either on what the sinful nature desires, which will lead to lust and other sin, or if your mind is set on what the Spirit of God desires, your behavior will be toward obedience. We also read this elsewhere in the book of Romans. It says in chapter 13, verse 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Your thought life is very important, even vital, folks. We are told what to think on and what not to think on in the Bible. You need to guard your mind against spiritually defiling thoughts that the devil will tempt you with or send your way. This is crucial. Resist the devil's thoughts, and you are resisting the devil. And that is what it's going to take to get him to flee. Since lust is not a demon, it will be worthless to try to get a demon of lust, quote unquote, cast out of you like some people have thought they need because they are lustful. You need to get aggressive and fight against this sin yourself. You are in a very intense spiritual war for your soul, and pornography is one of the traps of the devil to drag you to hell.
Dan, doesn't the Bible tell us not to give the devil a foothold? And wouldn't this also include getting serious about avoiding the sin of mental adultery?
Absolutely, positively. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. If you give the devil a foothold, it won't be long before he has a stronghold, and you are just another slave to sin. Avoid at all costs the sin of mental adultery. Even if you have to shut TV off and leave it off. Even if you have to put the magazines down and leave them down. Folks, it's that important. You will show yourself wise to be obedient and endeavor to keep yourself pure in this defiling society. You must get the victory over this sin according to what Jesus taught. In James 1:27, we read something relevant to this subject as well. James wrote, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Notice that. It says in James 1:27 that we are to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. We are to keep ourselves pure and from the spiritual defilements of this world. Cheryl, would you please read Revelation chapter 22, verse 15.
Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood.
That Greek word translated sexually immoral or whoremongers in Revelation 22:15, depending on what translation you are reading, is the Greek word we get our word pornography from. And Jesus said such people will be outside of New Jerusalem. If you are acquainted with Scripture, the only place to be if you are outside of New Jerusalem at that particular time is the lake of fire. Listen to this Scripture. It's just one chapter before Revelation 22. That's found in Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now that passage from Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, that last verse especially is very convicting in a day like ours. Many people look at those same types of sins and they more or less just wink at them. They don't think there's anything all that wrong with any of them. Not only the magic arts or the occult, but also lying. But again, Revelation 21:8 tells us, besides the unbelieving, it says, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those that practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, of course, it's understood that we can repent, that you can turn from that sin, and you can find forgiveness in Jesus. We learn that the sexually immoral will miss God's paradise kingdom and spend an eternity in torment. Friends, no sin or person is worth going to hell over. We must learn the truth about pornography and avoid it like a rattlesnake. In fact, we need to avoid it more than a rattlesnake, since a rattlesnake can only kill your body, while adultery can damn your soul to eternal fire. We'll be right back after this.
If our broadcast has been a spiritual blessing to you, or if you would like a free ministry packet of materials, please contact us. Our ministry phone number is 724-632-3210. That number again is 724-632-3210. To contact us by mail, send your correspondence to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. That's Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. The only thing hindering us from doing more for God is finances. Please consider helping us as we fight the good fight of faith. Your donations and prayers are appreciated. You will share in the fruit of our labors. And remember to tune in next week and tell a friend about our broadcast. God bless you.
Cheryl, what else can you think of that we can tell the people who want to get free and stay free of this horrible sin addiction of mental adultery?
It might be a blessing for the listeners to know that all those in the past who have been set free by the power of God were just as weak and held captive as all the others. We all need the power of God in our lives. These people found freedom in Christ, and all today who want this freedom can also find it in Jesus. Pornography and being consumed with lust is not too great a problem for the Lord.
Folks, please know that Jesus is alive. This is one of the greatest proofs that the Bible is true and that its message works even today. Show me any person today bound by sin and afterwards found salvation in the Lord Jesus. I'll show you a person that can testify to the grace and the power of God, and that the message of the Bible is a reality. This thing works. The Bible is true. Jesus is alive. The blood of Jesus Christ has not lost its power. And the greatest life anyone can ever live is a life lived for God. Yes, there will be persecutions. Yes, there will be trials and heartaches and perplexities. But it is still the best life anybody could ever live. Have you ever wondered why popular millionaire Hollywood stars kill themselves? They have everything that money, power, and popularity can bring, but they are still lacking peace with Almighty God. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 21, the Bible tells this about peace. It says, "There is no peace for the wicked." And no person will ever have peace with God unless they sincerely repent. You must turn from your sins or you will perish. It is that simple, but many miss it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus, and Jesus alone, can bring you that inner peace that you long for.
Without a doubt, many people are suicidal and see no purpose to live because they're unaware of what can be theirs if they become real Christians. They can have real joy and peace within and a real purpose to live.
Amen. There's no greater purpose to live than for the Lord Jesus. And there's no one worth serving more than the Lord Jesus. No one worth giving your all for than the Lord Jesus. He gave his all for us. Will we give our all for him? He died for us. Will you live for Him? Well, now's the time to make your life count for God. No person is promised tomorrow. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And folks, nobody knows when they're going to die. One of the scriptures we shared on a past broadcast was James 4:14. It tells us that our life is a mist. We appear for a little while and then we vanish away. We're here just for a little while, and the Bible tells us that after we die, there's a judgment. Friends, judgment day is awaiting each of us. Ponder that fact. Also ponder the truth that your death is one day closer now than yesterday, and one year closer than last year. Many people have died younger than you now, even if you're a young man or a young lady. If you were once saved but have since turned away from God, please come back, and come back with a willingness to serve God faithfully. He wants you back, and He cares about you, just like He did the prodigal, as we see in Luke chapter 15. We'll be right back after this message.
Paul taught the time would come when people would not put up with sound doctrine. He also said they would seek out teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. This is the day in which we now live. Many church people are filled with sin and are listening to religious fairy tales. Even worse, they like it this way. The remedy is simple. Find out what God wants and do it. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. God bless you.
Dan, a common belief today is that most people go to heaven. But in Luke 13, 23 and 24, we read, someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Jesus taught that many are going to attempt to get to heaven and even think they are on the right road, but they'll be unable to enter. Although they claim salvation, Jesus won't know these evildoers, verse 25, but will send them to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, verse 28, which is in heaven, even though some would falsely teach such. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 is a similar passage which states that most people go to destruction and only few to life. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matthew 7, 21 states, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Calling Jesus Lord does not necessarily mean an entrance into heaven. We must do the will of God. How few in our dark day realize that those described in these passages will not be going to heaven even if they have a professed belief in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Very, very good. Notice my wife read that we must do the Word of God. We must do the Word of God. That is what the Bible teaches. That is the message of the Bible. Now, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're living in a day where many people question and they wonder, well, what exactly is Scripture? Could it be the Bible as well as the Quran and perhaps also the Book of Mormon? Is it possible that all three are on a par, one with the other? I checked out the Barna report on how most people view the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon, and you might be shocked to hear what that report said. Listen to this. Quote, the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same spiritual truths. Unquote. Now that is what 44% of the adults in our country allegedly believe at this point in time. They put the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the Quran next to one another. And they actually think that they all share the same vital truths. Let me lay out some logic for you, if I can, for the next several minutes. We know the Bible is the Word of God because Jesus quoted the Scriptures. And He not only endorsed the entire Old Testament, as we would call it, He also promised the New Testament. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus is shown to be God in the flesh, not the Father, but God by nature. He's also man, but nonetheless, He's God in the flesh. And the Bible tells us, numerous scriptures declare, that Jesus is most definitely the Messiah or the Christ. Now, it doesn't say it in those words, but that is exactly the conclusion you must come to if you read the scriptures. It tells us about Messiah, where he would be born, how he would die, that he would raise again from the grave. Even some time prophecies about the era that he would come. And all of these point to the Lord Jesus. So Jesus has the greatest authority of all. And that's why when we as Christians tell people there's only one way to enter the kingdom of God, and that's Jesus, that's really not open for discussion. If you believe Jesus is the Lord, if you believe Jesus is Messiah, then you are forced to agree with all of his teaching, including that scripture, which is John 14:6. Folks, Jesus is the only way to the Father. If you're acquainted with the message of the Bible, then it should be crystal clear that Jesus died on the cross. But would you believe that the Quran denies that? The Quran teaches instead that Jesus did not die on the cross, and that's found in Surah chapter 4, verse 157. In fact, to be blunt, the Quran has a strong antichrist spirit all throughout. The Muslims deny that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and he's no different than other great spiritual leaders of the past. But how about the Book of Mormon? There was a gentleman that called in here in the past, and he tried to equate the missing Laodicean epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Book of Mormon. That's what he was getting at. First of all, if you examine the evidence for Joseph Smith Jr., the founder of Mormonism, you will have to conclude that Joseph Smith was a false prophet. So how could we possibly compare the source, a false prophet, and what that source would reveal, the Book of Mormon, with the Apostle Paul and the missing Laodicean epistles? You can't. But there's much more evidence that we need to examine if we're open about the Book of Mormon. This common thing, especially promoted by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are known also as the LDS Church. There are other groups that also embrace the Book of Mormon, such as the RLDS Church. And sadly, the people that would read through the Book of Mormon, they will become, at the very least, confused about many things. There are several scriptures. I have three of them listed in front of me from the Book of Mormon that teach that Jesus is the Father. That's found in Philemon chapter 14, verse 12, Mosiah 7:27, and Mosiah 16, verse 15. But that's not the message of the Bible. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus prayed to the Father. He was not praying to himself. Jesus is the Son. He is not the Father. But the Book of Mormon teaches something that's contradictory to the message of the Bible, just like the Quran does. Now, if Jesus endorsed the Bible as Scripture, and we would have a book called the Quran that would contradict the message of the Bible, then we know it can't be from the same source that gave us the Bible. Likewise, we also know that the Book of Mormon cannot possibly be of the same source, the same spirit that produced the Bible, that moved upon holy men of God that wrote what we call the Scripture, could not have been behind the message of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon also teaches that at the crucifixion, darkness covered the land for 3 days. That's found in Helaman chapter 14, verse 20, and also verse 27. But the Bible teaches in Luke chapter 23, verse 44, that it was only for 3 hours that darkness covered the land at the time of the crucifixion. There are other serious contradictions. I have a false prophecy that's actually found in the Book of Mormon. In 2 Nephi 3, verse 14, we read that those that would seek to destroy Joseph Smith would be confounded. But folks, if you're acquainted with what happened to Joseph Smith, on June 27, 1844, his enemies were not confounded when they successfully killed him in Illinois. He was shot to death. And then we have more problems for people that like the Book of Mormon. And most of these people also like Doctrine and Covenants. Doctrine and Covenants is another book that people consider scripture, at least the Mormon people. In Jacob 2:24, now this is another citation from the Book of Mormon, we read, quote, "Behold, David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord," unquote. Well, here we read in this particular Mormon scripture that polygamy was an abomination before Almighty God. The polygamy that David and Solomon committed. But then if you go to Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 132, verse 1, it actually tells us that David and Solomon were justified because of their polygamy. What a blatant contradiction. That's Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 1. We also see that the Book of Mormon actually refutes Mormon doctrine. That is, if you're of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons actually believe that God was once a man and that man can become God. But the Book of Mormon, and they're right at this particular part of the Book of Mormon, when it cites that God is unchanging. So man can never be God, and God was never once a man. God has always been God throughout all eternity. And there are many other problems with the Book of Mormon. Many other problems, may I add. It goes on and on and on.
For the sake of all the people listening, how can we know for certain if someone is a false prophet?
That's a very good question. I'm very glad you asked that, Cheryl. The Bible tells us most definitely false prophets will arise in the last day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there would be many false prophets and many people would be deceived by these false prophets. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 21 and 22, we have a test to know a false prophet. And that person would prophesy in the name of the Lord, and the event they prophesied would not come to pass. This is the very thing that Joseph Smith Jr. did. On February 14, 1835, Joseph Smith said, in 56 years, the Lord would return. Now, we find that in the History of the Church, Volume 2, page 182, as well as the Journal of Oliver Boardman Huntington, Volume 2, pages 128 and 129. So, did Jesus come back in 1891? Obviously, no. Therefore, that was a false prophecy. Folks, we want you to know, the Bible is the Word of God. We must go by the Word of God. Jesus is the only way to the Father, and He's the only way to escape damnation. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll talk to you next week.
God bless you.
The Bible teaches that we need to get saved by turning from our sins and trusting entirely in the Lord Jesus for salvation. But it also teaches that we must endure to the end of our lives to avoid going to hell. This does not always happen. There are many biblical examples of people who once had salvation, but afterwards lost that salvation because of sin, persecution, or believing a wrong gospel. All of this is denied by false teachers of our day. They think there is security in sin when the Bible clearly teaches otherwise. Get your copy of our book, The Believer's Conditional Security, for more information on the subject of salvation for only $19.50 by sending your check to Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. That's Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A. 15301. Or call us at 724-632-3210. That's 724-632-3210. Tune in next week for another soul-stirring broadcast, and God bless you.